This time on the Magic Kitchen Podcast, we're talking about hexing your ex, revenge spells, and breakup magic. I'm Leandra Witchwood.
And I'm Elise Wells.
And welcome to the Magic Kitchen Podcast, where we talk about magic, kitchen witchcraft, herbs,
and everything in between.
Magic Kitchen Podcast is funded and supported by thewitchwoodteahouse.com, offering a variety of hand-blended loose-leaf teas as well as loose herbs for all of your ritual, spell work, wellness, and everyday enjoyment needs. If you would like to support this podcast while sipping a great cup of tea, head over to thewitchwoodteahouse.com and find the magic that's in store for you. So how did the new moon in Aquarius treat you? I know my son, the Aquarian in the house, was kind of like off the charts.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He was like pinging off the walls. He's finally settled down. So now that we're, out of that.
I don't know if it's I don't resonate well with Aquarian energy. Like, it kind of leaves me drained.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's not
interesting
for me.
Because you're HP is Aquarius.
True, I know. Well, what's funny is she's the only Aquarius in my life.
The only one.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's strangers that
Leo.
I kind of know, but yeah, I don't have any like inner circle Aquariuses other than my high priestess.
Yeah, like I said, the Leo is the only sign that, or even Virgo, I think. No, scratch that. Scorpio. Those two I kind of rub up against, but.
Yeah.
It's funny because from what I understand in my chart placement, like, I should be cool with them, you know?
Yeah.
But it must like activate some shadow that I haven't been able to identify yet.
Yeah. No, it's a strange thing to look at. Like, I went on my Facebook like friends list and looked at birthdays and like isolated it for each sign to like see who I have and who shows up within them. And it was really interesting. Yeah. Like, Aquarius was the least. Like, I hardly had anybody in, even in my friends list, which, of course, as we all know, isn't always like capital F friends. It's like people you knew 10 years ago.
Yeah. Just people, you know, acquaintances. It should be acquaintance list, like not really friends list.
Vague connections list.
Well, the new moon, I did a tea ceremony and workshop at the Serpent's Key in Hanover, and I haven't done one of those since COVID, really. And it was an amazing event. Aww. Like, everybody who showed up was just amazing, and I got to meet some listeners, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. We're talking about doing it monthly now because it was such a good turnout. The energy was just so right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, we got to drink some tea. We got to talk about things. And so my idea out there, if everybody's on board with it, is I'm going to start looking at the different archetypes, the different divine feminine archetypes. And then my closest friend, Stacy, she is going to consider, she's apprehensive about it, but she's talking about working with the divine masculine archetypes. So we're going to kind of ping off of each other during these ceremonies.
Oh, interesting.
And, so I'm super excited about this. Like, this is where I always wanted to be with all the work I've done, you know, all the books, all the podcasts, all everything, the community, everything. I want to dig deeper into the divine as a workable, malleable energy we can utilize every day.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And and I'm going to extend it out into the community too. I was just talking to the Rebel Mystic community about like the future. They're like, well, you know, what else can we do? Like, we really want to do retreats. We want to do in-person circles and that sort of thing, because they kind of got a little taste of it. And I was like, yeah, but
Yeah, that's where I want to go. It's just, it's got to grow to that point, and we're getting there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I have something huge coming in March for my offerings, but I haven't fully finalized it to announce it, but I'm really excited about what it's growing into. Yeah, I feel that spring growth, that energy of
definitely.
Yeah. Just what could come and all the possibilities that feel open right now. Like for me, it feels very strongly like the energy of the knight cards in the tarot, like just enthusiastic, pushing forward, active, you know, productive energy towards goals that, you know, there's just like an openness to the path that as long as there's an industriousness to what we bring to what's coming out for us, we have an unbelievable amount of directions we could go.
God, yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm feeling that too. And I don't know if that started with the Aquarius.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I am feeling the Aquarian function. Energy a bit. I just feel too pooped for like ritual, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's like, okay. Like
it is,
you know, like it's not like I wasn't honoring the energy. I just didn't feel like showing up and calling the quarters and doing the whole rigmarole.
Right, and doing the whole thing. And I think that's something that listeners out there, please listen to this, because I even talked about this in the women's circle that I just did. Ritual doesn't have to be this rigorous thing that we have to do, because if we do it when our energy is not in alignment with it, it's not going to have the same effect. Mm-hmm. And we have to come to the space in alignment. We have to come to the space open to allow spirit to move through us. And if we're tired, if we're not feeling well, if we're stressed, that's going to affect that flow. It's not going to allow it to be that significant experience. Yeah. And it's okay to take a break. It really is. You don't have to celebrate every Esbat. You don't have to celebrate every Sabbath. You don't have to celebrate every single observance. Mm-hmm. You can take a break. It's okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and think about it. It's every 6 weeks we have a holiday, a Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then every we've got weeks. A full moon every 28 days.
Yep.
A new moon.
Yep.
Within that, 16 days after the full moon. So you'd be having a holiday every other week, every week and a half, really.
Right. And that's cool, but we don't always have the energy for that, especially if you work full time or if you run a business or you have kids or you're taking care of a parent. Life happens. You can't expect yourself to be on all the time.
The Sabbaths have kind of shifted for me, actually, as less of a holiday to do ritual and more of a time to honor a specific season's beginning, because they last 6 weeks.
Yes.
And realistically, like when we talk about a season in the modern sense, where there's four of them in a year, winter is has its ups and downs throughout that period. It's not really the same season for 3 months on end.
No, it's not.
So that 6 week period makes more sense anyway for like the cycle of the earth. And if we can live in that, it's more of a flow.
Yeah. Well, a great example of that is last week we had 60 degree weather. It was warm here. It was spring like. It was so vibrant. This week we just got dumped with like, I don't know, a foot of snow, something like that. Not a foot, but, you know, it once accumulated, like it's a lot to push around.
Yeah.
So it feels like a foot of snow, but it, you know, at least 2-3 inches in the past 24 hours. So we've got some significant snow out here. And next week, who knows? It might be 60 degrees again.
Yeah, that's whiplash. That's an unnatural whiplash. It really is. Awful.
That's Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at the weather right now to see. Yeah, next week we're supposed to climb back up into the 50s. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's wild.
Bipolar weather. Well, speaking of cards, so you were talking about like the cards. The one I have been pulling lately in almost all of my readings that I've been doing for myself, especially for the full moon, was the Bride of Waters. And this one comes from the Celtic Shamans pack. And I've been working with her story. So her story is she was told not to do something and she did it anyway. And because she did it, she ended up embodying the energy of water. And so that's been a huge message for, I think, this season and this moon is break some rules. And I think that's the Aquarian energy too. that's always, you know, they're the rule breakers. They challenge mm-hmm. the status quo. They, you know, that by nature, they say, well, why? Why do we do that? Like, who says we have to do that type of thing? So I think that's a really good message, not just for me personally, but for everyone out there. When you're struggling with this new vibrant energy that comes through in spring, like, well, what can you do with that? What in what areas of your life can you challenge?
Yeah.
And it really resonates right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's a side effect that folks might notice where if you don't channel that energy, it kind of radiates mm-hmm. in oftentimes yes. negative ways, you know, like just like a restlessness, difficulty sleeping, snapping yes. or acting out in ways that are really kind of out of character. Even while you're in the middle of saying it, you'll be like, well, that's weird. Why do I feel so strongly right now? And I think that's
I don't normally react that way.
Yeah. Like energy has to have somewhere to go, you know, like if mm-hmm. we don't channel it, what's it going to do? It's just going to bounce around.
Yeah.
Unpredictably. And I wanted to say a big thank you to everybody who came out to the To Cast a Circle Intro to Magic workshop I hosted on Saturday. It was a huge turnout. I've never had that many people attend live. It was really, really great. And because we had so many of us, we actually decided to write a spell together using my spell template. Awesome. And it was beautiful. Like we wrote a spell to enhance our intuition towards protection. And I was like, oh, this might be too layered, but it wasn't. We worked it out. It was really, really nice. And yeah, thank you for those of you who came out to that one. And bad news now coming. Where my shop is hosted on Patreon, all the platform fees went up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought them as long as I could. But unfortunately, on March 1st, I will be raising my prices in my shop. Yeah. So tarot readings and courses are going to have an increase in price. So if you do want a course, if you've had your eye on a course, purchase it before March 1st because prices will be going up. And my newsletter is going to have a breakdown of the price changes. On Tuesday, I'll have a newsletter going out and I'll also post it on my social media and send reminders out towards the end of the month as well for folks. Because I hate to do it. Like Leandra and I say all the time, like we're kind of priced low. It's like sometimes like I especially feel that way. Like I'll look at what somebody who maybe they haven't even been practicing as long as I have, or maybe they don't have a degree in witchcraft like I have or something. And I'm like, man, they're charging three times for this ticket than I'm charging. Mm-hmm. But it's because I want to be accessible. Like I want every witch to feel supported and have and not feel excluded. Like money should never be an exclusion of the craft. Like this is paganism literally means country folk. Like we cannot be pagans and witches and, you know, have a wealthy capitalist mindset.
Well, and honestly, like if we could do this for free, we would, but there are the fees that go along with it. Like we still have to pay for the hosting. We have to, you know, all the logistics go into it. And it sucks because I would rather just do this for free
or barter.
Connect with the community.
I wish I could literally be like, barter, y'all got a jar of pickles? Mm-hmm. Nice. I'll trade you. You know, like I would love to do that. Tarot reading for a jar of pickles anytime. Yeah.
and it is no joke that the Witchwood Tea House is what funds this podcast. Yeah. So if you have not purchased some of my teas, like honestly, it's some of the best tea out there. I'm biased, but my reviews speak for themselves, I think. So maybe I'm not so biased, but I take pride in the quality of them, the flavor, the look of the packaging and everything that goes into it. And I want to put this out there because I really love seeing how my customers and clients use the tea in their everyday stuff. So I posted some pictures of the tea ritual we did at the Serpent's Key in Hanover. But I love to see how other people use them. Like people use them for cosplay. They use them in D&D games. Use them in rituals. It's so much. I was talking to someone the other day about the messages I get from people who buy my tea and how they use them. And I'm like, I want to see this. I want to see them doing it. So please, if you do anything fun or unique with my blends and, you know, even hosting a tea party for your mother on Mother's Day, whatever. Mm-hmm. Post a picture on Instagram or Facebook and please tag me. Like that would be so fun to see. Like, how are you enjoying my blends.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love them. Actually, I'll do that because the other day I actually was using which tea? I think Dragon's Fire.
Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah, just I was just enjoying it, you know, but I took a nice picture of it because it's so pretty. Like, I actually really like the way loose leaf tea has, like, I mean, you can use it for augury. You know, you can use it for scrying. You can use it for divination. Yes. Tassiomancy with loose leaf is like the only way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't put anything extra in it. So what you see is what you're drinking. Like, I don't add flavors. I don't add colorings. I don't add preservatives. Nothing. The tea is literally straight up herb spice tea or fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's incredible.
That's important. Yeah. For the energy, that's important. Like, you need those whole ingredients. You need the resonance, not some, you know, chemical that they created in a factory and added it.
What's a tea you would recommend for this season of, like, coming into spring, you know?
Oh, so I will be launching out my Beltane tea. Ooh. That one's coming up. I also have a Strawberry Bliss. But if you're looking for something like spicy and indulgent, like the chocolate chai, that one is so good right now, especially when it's still cold out. You still have, you know, it's still kind of wintry. So you're not really yet into the spring, you know, I don't know, vibe.
Yeah.
But that one's really good. And of course, a Dragon Fire. Like, that one, if you're a little adventurous, try it, because don't let the chili scare you. It's not like, you know, hot wing mouth on fire. It's a warming in the back of your throat that is just so pleasant and soothing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. There is chili in it. Yeah. It's not spicy, really. It's just, warm. Like, I literally, like,
but people hear the chili and they're like, oh my God, chili? What?
That's so funny. I never even, like, would have thought of that. Yeah. It's just comfortable. Like, in the winter when it's cold, where we live is very damp. We're by the sea. So it's just damp in our house.
Yeah.
And without like some warming drinks, I would die. So that's like always my go-to, actually, is Dragon's Fire.
Your go-to.
Yeah.
You may have noticed that here at the Magic Kitchen Podcast, we don't have sponsored ads. That's because this is a fully listener-supported show. We do what we do for you, dear listener, and when you join my magical living community on Patreon, you're supporting all the time and energy that goes into setting up podcast interviews, writing articles and rituals, my paranormal mystery novel, and all that I do. And in exchange, you're getting over 10 exclusive journal prompts, rituals, witch tip videos, meditations, and more each month. If you love this podcast, consider joining my magical space. I can't wait to meet you and be an even bigger part of your magical journey. Go to patreon.com/Elise Wells or follow the link in the show notes.
So this time of year, we're recording this around Valentine's Day. You might be listening to this just after Valentine's Day. There's a lot of media pressure to be in love and be happy. And if you're single right now, or if you have a lot of wounding in the past around relationships, it can be a very, very hard time. And a lot of our shadow can start to rear its head. Even work that we've already done and moved through can find itself back. And then that tugs at our insecurities. And it's just a really vicious circle of, it's rough. It can be really, really rough this time of year. So we wanted to talk through some of the options for some baneful magic you can do, but also some empowerment that you can reclaim through this type of magic.
Yeah, and I think that's where our focus really will be, is the empowerment of it, because there's so many cases where that knee-jerk reaction is to jump into the execration magic or the baneful magic and, you know, hex the ex. But we don't always understand the ramifications of that. What's the repercussion? What comes back in the long term when we start just jumping into spells that can have a long lasting, powerful experience? And yeah, depending on how intense the spell was, it could be some really dire consequences.
Yeah. So we want to walk you through some of the definitions for these terms and some of the ways you can use them. and gets you thinking about it in ways that can empower you. Because at the end of the day, if your magic doesn't empower you, how is it serving you? What right. is the point? So,
right. And I think when we are looking at, you know, breakups, ending relationships, any kind of relationship, I mean, this could be romantic, it could be otherwise. When a relationship ends, there's a reason. And it is empowering to look at what went wrong. And specifically, and this is the hardest part of it, so buckle down. The hardest part of it is to look at the role we played in the souring of that relationship or in the decline of that relationship. What yeah. role did we play? Did we enable? Did we antagonize? Did we not stand up for ourselves? Did we not speak up? I was speaking to someone earlier this week about their relationship. And it ended. And she was talking about how this person she was in a relationship with, after 2 years of a long relationship, I mean, that's, I guess that's pretty long. After 20 years of marriage, or 20 plus years of marriage, like 2 years is a drop in the bucket, I guess. But that's beside the point. But she was talking about how, like, this person broke up with them and all of a sudden just went off on everything that was wrong. Everything just laid into her about what she did wrong and why she was a horrible partner, blah, 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 blah. And I stopped her. I'm like, wait, whoa. First of all, there's a point where even if you made mistakes and you perpetuated ill behavior, you know, didn't take into account their needs fully, that sort of thing. There's a point where if someone's not speaking up, they are part of the problem. They are perpetuating the problem. And it is not fair to all of a sudden unload on somebody because you failed to speak up for yourself. And she sat back and went, huh, I didn't think of it that way. So I was internalizing it completely, making it all my fault. When in reality, it wasn't 100%. It never is. Relationships are two-way. They're never 100% one person's fault. We either enable or we instigate. And this is where we have to really reflect and do that shadow work on what role did we play. And this is where I think a lot of people get tripped up, is they don't want to see the role that they played, because we want to believe that we did no wrong, that we are all good and that we're, you know, at no fault. But that's not true. We're human. Yeah. And we're going to make mistakes.
Well, and this is the kind of shadow work that is best done later. If you're just now coming out of a heavy relationship, especially a long one, especially one that was life-changing, that you went through milestones together, I mean, that's raw. That's a raw wound for a while. Mm-hmm. And taking your time to really do the shadow work on it, you know, just first things first, lean into that self-care. And that self-care can look like, you know, ice cream on the couch traditionally, or it can look like going on a retreat, traveling, maybe getting a new pet, you know, obviously if you're committed to what having a pet entails, never.
Yes.
Pets aren't
knee-jerk. Yeah.
Are not material items. but maybe that ex was like, you can't have a dog. You would never be a good dog mom, you know? And now you're like, you know what? Yes, I would be. And you get that dog. Like that can be very empowering.
It can be.
And, you know, starting to do the things that make you feel like yourself again. But once you come to that place, and if you're in the boat where you've been single for a long time because of wounding surrounding an old relationship that ended in a bad way, in a way that left you feeling badly, and you're still healing from that, but it's been long enough now that you can look it in the eye, I think that's the time to do the shadow work. And that sounds like it's your time to do the shadow work if that's the position you're in right now. Mm-hmm. Because the thing to remember is that you are not the person you are in a given relationship is just one version of yourself, no matter what. Right. Even when you've been married for 20 plus years, or you know, think of your parents, they've known you your entire life. Are you the same person with them that you are with your friends, that you are with your coven, that you are with your partner? No. And that's fine. That's good. That's how people are. We're just multifaceted. So when a relationship ends, a part of you dies, and celebrating that little death is something that can help us move on as well.
Yeah.
Acknowledging you're not the person who got hurt by that other person anymore.
Right. And in our relationships, how we interact with one another is also colored by how that other person views us. Like going back to the parent-child relationship, in many parent-child relationships, the child will always be the child. They'll never be looked mm-hmm. at as an adult. That can happen.
That's so much
in
fun. Love that one. Hashtag relatable.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Even sibling relationships. A great example for myself in that, and like I always say, is I can't tell you what your experience is. I can only go off of my experience. So in my experience, my sister is 12 years older than me. So she helped raise me. So in her mind, I'm still this child who needs mothering or needs direction or needs unsolicited opinions type thing. She doesn't see me as a successful adult. She doesn't see me as a business owner. She doesn't see me as a priestess. Though she'll never see me that way because she, in her mind, I'm still this little girl who she had to take care of when I got sick or fell off my bike, that sort of thing. So even in romantic relationships, we can develop that dynamic where the partner will only ever see us as the person they met in that early relationship where things were, you know, stars in our eyes and it was so euphoric, you know? Mm. And when we grow together, that perception of one another should change. We should be able to see each other, especially in long-term relationships, as an individual who has grown. Mm-hmm. But in some relationships, that's not the truth. So yeah. When somebody's holding on to these ideas of who you should be, even though you're no longer that person, even though the relationship has well moved past that euphoric stage, there can be that element of, well, you're supposed to be this person. Why aren't you this person anymore? And that can mm-hmm. build up a lot of resentment and a lot of issues within relationships.
I'm always amazed when I see like the trope in movies and books and, you know, like in romances, they're always like, you've changed. And then right. The person's like, oh, how dare you say that? And it's like, well, wait a minute. Back it up.
Because I'm supposed to.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not changing. I mean, especially when we're talking, you've been together a long time. Like,
oh, yeah.
You
oh,
really
yeah.
want to be the same person you were 20 years ago?
No.
Even 2 years ago, even 3 years ago, there's things that right. we grow through that we don't yes. really want to repeat, you know? Maybe even yesterday was a hard day. You're like, I don't want to do that again.
I don't want to do that again. Nope. And we should be constantly looking to improve ourselves, and our relationship should reflect that. So if you came out of a hard breakup where maybe that was a factor, where you guys just were not supporting each other, you weren't growing together, you weren't developing together, you weren't allowing each other space to learn and grow and do things outside the relationship as well as within the relationship, that can be a hard thing because it's a very codependent reality.
Yeah.
And that's never good.
And I want to speak on something that is a hard, painful truth of this path we walk. When you go through a spiritual awakening, it is very rare. I've never seen it in my own life, but I can't say it doesn't exist. But I've never seen it in students, clients, friends, myself, my coven. I've never seen it where a partner and like where both partners in a relationship or all partners in a relationship actually have the awakening together.
Right.
It Absolutely. Is a personal journey. And unfortunately, that means you will often lose some very once important relationships in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
And I speak from experience on that one. I lost my best friends. I didn't lose a romantic partner, but I lost a friend. And mm-hmm. I have to say in my life, friend breakups have always been worse, always yeah. been worse than romantic ones. And I think that's partly because society doesn't have a container to receive the grief that comes from a friend breakup. We don't really have media that helps us through it. You know, you have a breakup with a lover, you can always find somewhere to turn that you can relate to. There's catharsis that happens with that. But when it comes to friend breakups, like it is isolating, it is lonely, it is painful. So if you felt that way, like you're not crazy. That's
no,
that is no, real. That is a real valid pain. And in and spiritual awakenings really kind of spur that on. And I think that's hard on two levels. One, it's hard in the literal, like I lost my friend. That's horrible. But it's mm-hmm. also hard because it makes you wonder, like, is this path right for me? If I'm losing somebody who used to mean so much right. to me, how is this good? And that's not an easy answer. And that's a lot of shadow work to jump into. But in my experience, I've realized that a lot of the friends who fell apart were trauma bonds. People yeah. that I met who had the same bad experiences as me. And we were both working through them, but I worked through them and they wanted to hold on to them. And that was the root of it. That was the root of it.
That's a great segue into why it's so important to shed these old relationships, these codependent trauma bond relationships. So when we start going through these spiritual awakenings, we start realizing who we really are, our authentic self, and going yeah. back to the perception that other people have of us in relationships, that they're always going to have this, they're going to see us through a specific lens unless they're willing to grow with us. Now, it doesn't mean they have to share the religious awakening or spiritual awakening mm-hmm. with us, but if they can still hang out and support us and not feel like they're being left behind or that somehow that is a threat to the relationship, yeah. then that's solid. That's healthy. You know, we should be able to support our partners while they're going through something amazing without feeling like, oh, we're going to lose it all because this person's not willing to grow with me. And it doesn't have to be the same experience because your spiritual experience, your craft is going to be unique to you. But that doesn't mean that they can't support you in it. If they're unwilling to support you in it, that's a red flag. That's maybe yeah. that is a time to walk away or have an honest discussion. You know, tell me, like, why are you resistant to helping me here, or not helping me, but supporting me in this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And that is a hard one. That is a really, yeah. really, really hard place to be in.
Well, and going back to that self-care idea, like, this is where we can practice self-care right now, right here and now with every relationship we are in. Taking a deep look, like, how is this nourishing me? How is this relationship nourishing the partner? And if you guys aren't nourishing each other, if we're not nourishing each other, if we're not supporting each other, that's a red flag. Like, why can't we do that? Mm-hmm. And how do we remedy it? So sitting down and having a genuine, open conversation is not unheard of. Yeah, it can be scary because you don't know how that person's going to react. But then again, if you're going into a conversation with somebody with fear of how they're going to react because they have emotional immaturity, like, oh my God, we could go really deep into this, but really that's saved for like personal sessions where we really talk about it. But when we're not focusing on the fear element and we're trying to push it away and ignore it, then we're ignoring something about that relationship. That's a red flag. That's a huge issue.
Yeah. The eggshells.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Hey there, witches. Did you know that there's an entire community out there dedicated to you and your journey? The Rebel Mystic community is a space where I offer my decades of knowledge and experience to witches just like you. I do this through live events, monthly mentoring, monthly rituals, a book club, and other resources like workbook pages and meditations. There is even a complete self-paced course library you can access. Check the link in the show notes to learn more about this community and how to become a member. Blessed be.
So once you've done the shadow work, once you've analyzed the relationships that have ended or that you need to end or that have passed on in your life, and you know, you're ready to do some magic about it. You've done the shadow work. You're ready to do the magic. Often, in my experience, the conclusion is usually come to that hexing or cursing or a negative revenge on this person isn't always what makes the most sense. And yes, like, if maybe it does. Maybe it does. If it does, you know that it does. But if you've really done your shadow work, you'll know whether you should do a hex or a curse or something meaningfully painful to that other person, or if maybe the baneful magic you need, and we've talked about this, we don't really consider banishings and bindings as baneful because they're really protection magic.
Right.
But, you know, if we're in this zone of like sending energy to end things, maybe that's what's better. I think maybe 90% of the time, maybe more, that's a better route to go than wishing ill on that other person. Right. Like I said, there's times it is, but you'll know in your soul when you've done that shadow work if that's the case or not. Mm-hmm. And that's also where we come in as mentors. You know, if that's something that you if we resonate with you energetically, that's a great something to work through with us. Is that shadow work and that mentorship aspect of like, well, here's my very specific instance. What do you think? Because we can only give very general stuff. This is a podcast, not a session. So it's kind of hard to like know
we if don't know it's your worth unique hexing situation.
To hex or not to hex? That is the question.
It's really ultimately for you to decide.
Yeah. And yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, and personally, when I'm looking at baneful magic, the execration magic, and causing harm or discomfort or even torment on someone, I typically steer clear of that because we all have shit that we're going through. We all have shit that's, you know, damaged us in some way, shape, or form, that has skewed our perception of what's right and wrong. And again, this is where shadow work comes into play and therapy comes into play, like recognizing where our dysfunctions are and working to resolve them. And that, you know, it's not a one and done situation. But typically when I engage in any kind of execration magic, it is to teach a lesson that the person who I feel has done wrong, not to punish, but to educate so that they learn where they have caused harm. And hopefully, you know, in the wisdom of the universe, that they are taught a lesson so that when they go back into another relationship or find themselves leaning towards that behavior again, they can stop themselves and go, whoa, 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 wait. This caused a huge problem before. Maybe I should do something differently. And that's the hope. There's very few occasions where I'm going to actually curse somebody or hex or cross someone, and that's usually when it's like imminent harm, when they have been given the tools to do better and they choose not to. That's where we fail, when we're given the tools to do better and we choose not to. That's when it's a choice. It's not an unconscious behavior. It's not subconscious. It's not something that, you know, oh, I didn't realize I was doing something wrong. No, now they are choosing. That's a totally different avenue, you know. It's like,
exactly,
you can't fault somebody 100% when they don't realize what they're doing. And that's where the serious conversations come in. That's where the serious, you know, sit down and, hey, when you do this, it causes a lot of harm, could you please not?
Yeah And then it's the reception of that determines your action.
Yes.
And I'm in the same boat. I've never had to curse somebody, even in situations where lawyers got involved. I have not cursed somebody because I've never seen the value in that. Now, that's not to say there's not a contingency built into a banishing I might work,
right,
or a binding that I might work, that if they do choose to try to come back, things aren't going to go their way. But that's, again, tied to their choice. So it will only come back on them if they want it
choose
to come back on them by their actions. So you're probably thinking, okay, so this magic sounds kind of complicated. And it is. That's a big thing we want to talk about today.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, because, okay, so what brought this conversation up between Elise and I earlier was that I have been seeing a lot of people post about cord cuttings in my community and on social media. And one person had a really bad reaction with a cord cutting. And she'd, you know, seen another creator talking about cord cuttings and how great they are and how everybody should be doing them. I'm like, whoa. So what's going on? And she's like, well, I feel like a piece of my soul has been cut off. I'm like, yep. Guarantee you it did. Because cord cuttings, freezer spells, souring spells, hexes, crossings, jinxes, whatever, they have consequences. And if we don't do the full the full research, the full introspection, it can go wrong. If there's a piece of us mixed in and deeply linked, or even a soul contract, and whether you believe in those or not, there's a contract we have when we enter a relationship with somebody. So if we don't fulfill our part of the contract, then we damage that contract. We damage our connection. So if we just try to, oh, I'm just going to do a cord cutting and get rid of it, then you most definitely will cut off the energy that you need from that. And it's complicated. Like I can only talk about it in general terms because each individual, each situation is different. But in this situation with this person, this individual, their part of their soul was wrapped up in the energy of this previous relationship, and they didn't fully pull their power back. They didn't fully disconnect that connection before they cut the cord. So part of the cord that they cut included part of their energy.
And gotcha. So now I'm with you. Okay. That's,
yeah.
That's rough.
It is. That it's is rough. And you can't get that back.
Like, that's a no warning. That yeah. That's like shadow work. That's a poster child for why shadow work's important.
Right. Right. Yeah. It, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but you can't get that back. Like you're going to have to do a lot of additional other work, like soul retrieval type work, to try and get that back. But I can't guarantee you'll ever get that back. And that's a sad thing. It's a scary thing. This is how spells like this go wrong. Like normally they don't normally go wrong like this, but you know, this is why Elise and I advocate so heavily for doing the shadow work, doing that reflection, doing that introspection, finding where are your roots and their roots wrapped intertwined with each other.
I feel like it's the intention that we always say it. It's like a broken record. Have a clear intention. Every which ever. Yeah. That's what we say. Have a clear intention. What does that mean? Like, you might be very clear that you don't want this guy back. Mm-hmm. You don't want him back. You don't want to see him again. You don't want to smell him again. You don't want to hear about him again from a friend of a friend of a friend who saw him and tagged him on Facebook. No, you want to banish him fully. You don't want to ever come across this dude again. That sounds clear. That seems clear. But there's always more to it. Okay, you never want to see him again. All right, that's good. But what if he starts stalking you? Do you want to never find out? You know? Like, so there's so much clarity that needs to be done. The two times in my life that I've done banishings and bindings, one of them, I don't like to talk too personally on a podcast about this. I talk about this stuff a bit more in my community where it's like, you know, kind of contained and I know who's in there. And,
right,
you know, this is out into the nether regions and these people, I doubt they'd be listening. But like, what if these two people are listening? I don't know. But one of them that I did this on, my life was at risk. And I had lawyers. I had, you know, like I did all the physical professional route of what to do, which is important in those situations. Magic can't fix everything in our day and age, unfortunately. But I also wanted this magical protection. So I did it very firmly. And part of that work, part of that banishing and binding, was going through my house and combing it for any possible remnant of that person. Did they leave a hair behind? You know, I don't know. So it involved a very deep cleaning. I also moved within a month of this. So I used that opportunity to get everything out and, like, I mean, literally have an empty house and like bleach the floors and like, and I don't use bleach to clean my house. Like, that was a special situation. Like, that was part of the banishing because I didn't want any possibility of lingering. And then I also buried everything that I used for this spell in a cemetery. and further buried this. I mean, like, the layers of detail that went into this. And the petition I wrote to my patron deity asking for this was like 7 pages long. Because I laid it all out. It was so clear, like there was no mistake in it. And I'm reading it aloud. And while I'm reading it aloud, I'm clarifying things and I'm talking with my deity. But I mean, it was so exhausting. It's exhausting to even try to remember how much shit I did.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But what choice did I have? And I still didn't curse. But I did banish and bind. Yes. And if he tried, if he ever tried to get close at all, even, I mean, I literally wrote in there, like, if he contacts anyone in my Facebook friends list, because my personal Facebook is like pretty limited. I don't have very many friends. It's only people I actually, you know, I'm friends with in real life. Like, this will happen. Like, there were contingencies built in to keep this dude at like arm's length doesn't cover it. Like, I'm talking like Atlantic Ocean's length. So
that's good.
But that's like commitment, you know, that's intention. It is. Like, it's so hard. And I, at that point, I had been in my practice probably like 8 years, you know, I had a coven behind me helping me get this stuff out. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was not something I did as an island either. Yeah. And I think that's important to put out there. So when they're
talking about that.
Yeah. When the really painful shit hits, like, you need support.
Right. So let's talk about that. I know. So most people are solitary now. Like, they don't necessarily look for covens, but the power behind that and the accountability behind that, having sisters, brothers, coven members, magical relationships there that can look at the situation and help you through it, help you raise the energy, help you reflect, help you through shadow work, help you do the things. All the things, that's powerful, and I think it's too easily dismissed in our witchcraft culture today. Is that it's so easily dismissed? Well, I'm just solitary, and that's exactly how I'm going to be. But we forget that community is so important to this path, and having that backing, having those magical people with you to, one, keep you accountable, keep you in check when you go off the rails, because that happens all of us to all of us. And it doesn't have to be a full coven. It could be one other witchy craft person, you know. It doesn't have to be an entire coven of 13, you know, the typical. But think about it. Like, people who are genuinely in relationship with us, they can see us for our faults. And they can still love us, and they can, they're not afraid to say, hey, you know what? I think you're overreacting just a bit here. Can we dial it back and look at this a little more closely? That type of thing. And it's so important. And then when you enter into circle together and you raise magic together, like, how powerful is that? Like, I mean, we can speak about that at least because we have experience with it, but I'm not sure that all of our listeners have had that experience of what it's like to be in circle with a dozen other witches, or two other witches, or three other witches, however, whatever the number is in that moment. I've been in circle with 100 other witches, and it's amazing. Like, the energy you raise on a single focused purpose, intention, is profound. And I have no words for it. I can't express words. I can't express it in words.
Well, and when you have something hard to do, like baneful work tied to the heart, having that support behind you is like literally, it's like literally having it behind you. It's like having arms out, hugging you behind you as you do this working. You know it can't fail.
Right.
And that's huge.
Massive.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, this is not to scare you off from doing these workings. It's just to empower you to do them right. And by right, we mean the right way that you know you've been as clear as you can with your intention, as layered as you might need to be with the working you do. You know, like you might see a cord cutting online that it just has two candles and a twine tied between them and they light the candles. Well, what they didn't tell you is that they did it on a new moon and They chose black candles to banish the negative energy. And underneath of those wrapped twines, you'll also see some sigils carved that have to do with banishing. And the twine they picked was, you know, like it just, it piles on. And then you don't see the after. The after. Yeah. What? How did they dispose of those spell ingredients? You know, there's a lot of layer and nuance to these heavier spells that, I mean, that's why they're effective.
Right. Yeah, and simply being on social media and picking up a few things here and there is not going to teach you the full ramification of it. You know, they don't show you what happened afterward. You know, was that post that you shared and saved to do later, did they follow up with that? Like, did they show you how it manifested? You know, did it go right? Did it go wrong? What preparations did they put into it? What petitions did they write? You know, did they write a 7-page petition?
And I'll be honest,
on camera,
I would never film a real cord cutting that I did.
No,
because you don't. When you film something, you're bringing a device into circle that is an open conduit of energy.
Yes,
like when we receive texts and you know all that 4G, 5G, whatever. LTE, like that's that signal stuff, you know, what's it called? Radio waves, I guess. Those things are conduits for energy directly, scientifically. Mm-hmm. So bringing them into circle adds energy to circle.
It does.
And a very uncontrollable.
And it's volatile.
That. Yeah.
It's not controlled energy. You can't control that.
So it's not to say that what you see on social media is fake, but it is staged.
It's showy. It's meant to generate likes and shares and, you know, engagement. It's not meant to actually educate you. It's meant to catch your attention.
It's the amuse-bouche. But if you want the appetizer and the drink and the meal and the dessert, and that's the real work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's important to say, too, how do we know they're working? Let's say you did it all right, right? Like you work through it, you write this long petition, you talk with your deities about it, you spend months prepping for this, you've done the shadow work, you know, how do you know it worked? How do you know it worked?
Yeah.
You'll know from the first second you start that actual ritual, in my experience. It's during the ritual you're like, holy shit,
oh, damn.
This is working. Yeah, it's powerful. And then like shit happens you don't expect, like a candle drops a wax in exactly the shape of like an X and you're like, oh, okay, it worked. Or, you know, your candle sputters out and then back to life. Or honestly, a lot of it's with flame for me, but I'm very fire-based. Like all the deities I work with are fire and, well, except for one.
Yeah.
But, you know, or the water you're using to scry in, just like all of a sudden there's a ripple and like nothing's vibrating. You know, Jurassic Park style ripple. And you're like, ooh. You know, like.
Here comes T-Rex.
Like these things happen and you're like, mm-hmm. And then when you finish it, you'll be tired. I mean, I'm always like, I've done them twice. So it's not like always, but the two times I've done a banishing and binding, I have been pooped, but spiritually nourished.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that like final boss fight kind of energy in like a movie where you're like, Batman's exhausted,
I did it, but now
he did
I need
it.
A nap.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all actually ritual aftercare. I do not think that is talked about enough.
Oh yeah, we need to do that one.
We should do that. I feel like that's something to cover. But yeah, like taking care of yourself after magic is like muy importante.
Yes.
Did you know that one of the best ways to support this show is actually completely free? When you leave us a 5-star review, it triggers the algorithm to recommend our show to more people. And that is the number one way our show can grow. Keep the hearth lit in the Magic Kitchen by leaving us a 5-star review.
So you're probably at this point thinking like, well, geez, maybe I don't want to do these baneful types of magic because it sounds scary. So there are alternatives. There's other ways you can heal, move on, cut out the negative influences in your life. Of course, the first one I always recommend is going to be shadow work, because that is where you're really going to get to know yourself, your motivations, and your patterns, where you trip yourself up? Where are you being counterproductive in your life and your patterns? So for me, that's number one with healing and moving on. It's like, okay, this relationship went bad. Let me reflect on the role I played. And it wasn't a romantic relationship, but I just did this with another friendship type relationship. You know, Elise mentioned how, you know, friendship seems to be the worst.
So and beautiful.
Yeah. So within this relationship, like the person just stopped talking to me. And it wasn't until a mutual friend of ours, she opened up to her and it said that, you know, she was the problem, but she wouldn't speak to me about it. You know, so that is a really hard thing.
The lack of closure is so
Yeah, the lack of closure, that idea that you didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, in conversations, like, what did I do? Like, I tried everything. I tried to be patient with this person. I tried to be open with this person. I tried to include this person. I messaged this person every single day. Hey, how's it going? Do you need anything? Can I do anything? And it was just being blocked emotionally, energetically, and in the relationship with this person at every corner. So again, it goes back to that, like that idea of that, you know, someone holding it all in, not communicating with you, and then blowing up at you or cutting you out at the last, you know, at the very end. It's not entirely your fault. So this is where shadow work really comes into play. Like deciding, am I really the problem? And sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's not you at all. You know, sometimes it is just that person. That person has unresolved issues that they're not willing to address. So you're the one to blame. They put it on you. They project it onto you. And that's unhealthy. And absolutely, that's something that you should look at as, you know what? Moving forward, that's not the type of relationship I want in my life. I want people, and I'm speaking for myself right now. I want people in my life who are going to be open, who are going to be honest with me, who are not willing to share, who are willing to share and not withhold, who, you know, if I'm doing something that they don't like, that they'll say something like, hey, you know, that makes me feel uncomfortable. And if you know me, if you've ever been in conversation with me, and Elise, I hope you can attest to this, that if you bring something up to me, I'm like, huh, okay. I'll look into that. Like, I'm not unwilling to look at my pattern. So this is where shadow work helps support us, is when we can get to a point where we're like, okay, I recognize I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So what am I doing to cause damage or cause imbalance? So that's my first alternative to doing any kind of baneful working is first do your shadow work, find the role that you played. Resolve that first. And if you still need to do the baneful working, then look into it. Go into that route.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's almost always something better to do. But I feel like there are some, we're not saying don't do magic, because there is a lot. What does magic do? It empowers us. And there is a lot of magic we can do that will leave us feeling empowered. So an idea I haven't had to do this because knock on wood, but I'm very happily married and we've been together like 10 years. So it's been so long. And like, I have no animosity to any of my romantic exes actually. Which is really rare, I think, but
yeah,
but I don't, I mean, I wish them well, all of them, but I will say sometimes you want to fully move on from that relationship. So if it way, way, way back, we had on S. Connolly, who is an author who wrote a book on hexing. And in that book, she gives a lot of alternatives to like hexing people.
Right.
And one of the things that's really stuck with me is the way you can like hex a habit. So maybe there's two things you could do here. One, you could hex or curse a habit you have. Maybe there's a certain type of like bad for you person you keep searching out.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe that's the real issue is like, you know, like you're like, I don't know. I just love the emotionally unavailable, but I also know they're bad for me. Like that, if you're really ready, I mean, don't waste your time if you know you're going to do it again. But like,
right.
If you're actually ready to put that to bed, actually, no, don't take it to bed. If you're ready to not take him to bed anymore.
We're going to bury it in the backyard.
Yeah. If you're ready to bury that shit in the cemetery, then you can... You can hex that habit. And that's where, like, you know, your petition could look like a love letter to the version of yourself you want to be.
Yes.
With the type of person that you want to invite.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
so yes, suddenly yes. It's not about giving energy to that loser ex that, you know, wouldn't even go down on you. Like, forget him. Don't waste your energy. Who do you want to manifest? First things first, a man who will go down on me. Second things first, you know, really go for this stuff, ladies, men, babies, all of us. There is just some things we should demand for ourselves.
Yes.
And that's very empowering. And you can hex the type of person you need to never go near again from coming into your energy. You can also manifest the person you want at this time. It's almost like a double whammy working, because you're manifesting what you want by turning on its head the things you don't want. So if you don't want somebody who never wants to take you on a date, they're always like, yeah, come through.
Right.
Yeah. You up? Yeah. You don't want that. So you're like, Okay, I do want somebody who comes to my house, picks me up, brings me flowers, opens the car door for me, you know, lay it out. Lay out what you right. want very clearly. This is another example of clear intention. Mm-hmm. And then in the other side of it, if you're still in this baneful mindset, because sometimes that's the best way to get anger out is like, you know, breaking something. So you can,
rage rooms.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Yeah. Not the most magical solution, but yeah, absolutely.
No, but they work.
Break rooms are pretty cool. Yeah. But you could hex the actual or I guess this would work better for somebody who keeps going back to the same person that's bad for you. You could like put a banishing on that relationship. Like, oh, I can't do it. And then you will find that the universe will put obstacles in your way that you've asked them to. You've asked the universe to do this, but you know, you'll be like on your way to go see him and then, oh, your battery's dead in your car.
Yeah.
So that's another way to like, that's some self-care as well.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
You can get kind of creative here with this. I feel like we really get hung up in magic on like we think it's a clear thing that we want. But then the more you sit with it, the more you reflect on it, the more you do your shadow work.
We're
a broken record here, but
I know.
The more you're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I am directing all my rage at Charles. But in reality, you know, it was the situation that I hated, or it was the way this was that I hated.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we start focusing on those little aspects that drive us, then we start making real progress and we start steering away from those bad behaviors, those bad habits, those counterproductive habits that trip us up every single time. Yeah. But you're not going to know what those are unless you do. What is it? Shadow work.
Oh yeah. Woo! I feel like we did like a little like sound effect that's just like shadow work.
Shadow work. What is it? Shadow work. I'm sorry we're being silly, but I hope you enjoy like the lighter part that we put into this so that we're not so heavy, because this is a heavy subject. Like, relationships are a heavy subject, and I think we should be able to be curious about it. Be curious about why we do the things we do. You know, it can be scary, but be curious. Why do you have this reoccurring type of relationship in your history? Why do you have this reoccurring thought in your head? Be curious. Find out why. Find out how you can resolve it so that you can live a healthier life. Merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again. Thank you for joining us on the Magic Kitchen Podcast. Please visit my website, leandrawitchwood.com, for news, information, and more episodes.
I'm Elise Wells, and I can be found at Seeking Numina on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, and seekingnumina.com. That's Seeking, NUMINA.